You are in my presence, and I am in yours. I need times like this to minister to you in a deeper level. I am preparing you for what is to come. If you will continue on this path, you will become more and more a part of the end time remnant that I use during this end time outpouring and revival. You do not know how much I need you. You do not know how much I need you to be ready for me to use. I am even now drawing people out of churches they like into churches they need. And this transition is going to be very difficult for some. At first, they will not understand why they are attending the church where I have led them. In some cases, they will not fully understand why they left their previous church because they liked it so much. But you do not need a church you like. You need a church you need. And this is where I am drawing people. And I need you fully prepared to minister to those people, because some of them are going to feel so aimless. Some of them are going to feel like they're having to start their Christian life all over again. Some of them will feel frustrated. Some of them will feel confused. I need you to be my voice in their lives. I need you to be ready to speak into their life. Because as I speak through you, it is going to touch their heart. And they are going to come to the place of realizing more and more that they are finally in the church where I want them. Their eyes are going to be opened. They're going to be exposed to truth that they have never heard. And much of what they've heard in the past will finally be explained to them. And they will feel as though that there is a great refreshing in their lives. This is a part of the end time revival. I want my church to be a full reflection of me, just as my son Jesus was a reflection of me. This is not an impossible thing, but it requires yielding. It requires you making a decision that you want what I want more than what you have previously desired. I am not holding back, but I am working in you to the level that you yield to me. This preparation is so absolutely critical. It's not simply a matter of signs and wonders, but it is a matter of the total Christ-like life. My son did not die just so you could be born again and wander aimlessly in life. He died so you could be born again and become a fully mature child of mine. I am working in you. Regardless of what you feel or what your emotions tell you, I am working in you. And it is very important that you allow me to show you what I see of you. Stop looking in an earthly mirror and coming to a conclusion about who you are. Start looking in the mirror of my word and understand the fullness of who you are and who you can become. I work through conferences like this to edify my children to a place of greater understanding and greater responsibility in my kingdom. I want you to know that regardless of what you have thought about yourself in the past, you are handpicked by me for great things in the kingdom. I did not say you are better than anyone else, but I have chosen you to use you. You have not been encouraged by many people around you, but their encouragement is based on things of this world. But I want you to know that my Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit. You are my child. And the Holy Spirit will continue to bear witness with you about your potential in me and everything that you can do. Believe my word when my son said that you can do the works he did. This is not a fantasy. This is a living, breathing reality. So continue to seek me. Continue to press into me, knowing that you are not wasting one moment of your life when you do so. You have a future in this world that is full of my glory and my presence. Continue pressing in, and you will know not only the joy of your salvation, but the joy of my presence in a way you have never before understood it. I am your God, and I am your Father, and I embrace you as my child, because you are accepted in my presence, says the Lord. What we're going to do this morning is have Pastor Bronk and Gary come up, and then I will close and just kind of a recap of the conference. Any additional thoughts they have, or maybe just a summary. I'm just whatever the Lord leads them to do. So, Pastor Bronk, if you would please come and share.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My wife whispered something to me, incredibly important, edifying, just before I came up. She said, hurry up and say what you got to say. I got to pack. I want to go see my grandbabies. Hallelujah. I said, well, I'm edified. Glory. Just two verses. Because I'm scared of candy. You don't have to turn there. Let me just read them. Isaiah 45, verse 2 and 3 says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. That thou may know that I am the Lord, which called thee by name, and the God of Israel. The hidden riches of secret places is something he's been teaching us this week and demonstrating to us. Wednesday morning was the hallmark, if you want to say it that way. It was the testimony of this conference, for me at least. It was the glory of the ark in us being demonstrated in that message that wasn't a message, it was just a demonstration that Jamie was giving. The treasure of secret places. You know, in 1997, I visited a place. I sat in a church that I'd never been in, and that was the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa. And I was there and first time, and I knew right where, I can remember right where I was seated. And the presence of God was in, I had never felt that much presence in my life, just in worship. And then the presence changed from that level to another level. And it seemed as if the treasure of secret places, if I can use that term based on that verse, went to another level. And a man walked in front of me. And I'd never seen this man. I didn't even see his picture, I guess, when I walked in the foyer that day. And I had been listening to a man named Dave Roberson, but I had never even seen his picture. And a presence came in. And I began to almost want to just bawl. I was overwhelmed with the presence of God. And then when he took the stage and he began to speak, I said, that's Dave Roberson. But before he ever took it, when he was walking across and that presence was so powerful, this was my thought. I've got to have what that man's got. And he walked this way and he went up on the stage and I'm thinking, whatever he's got, I've got to have it. He's got something. This is what I'm looking for. And he began to speak, and that treasure, that ark that was in him, living in an earthen vessel, began to pour out in the congregation, and it changed my life. Changed my life completely. So much so, I went home and I was pastoring part-time. It changed my life so completely, I went home and gave away a home and gave away a business. I sold my nets, or I laid down my nets. I'm going full-time because of just that presence. Would you lift your hands? We worship you, Jesus. Release the ark in us, Lord. What that treasure that's in that earthen vessel. Release it, Lord, in our lives. You've taught us in this conference. You've demonstrated in this conference. But now let us go in. Let us receive this place in this earthen vessel. Let this be demonstrated to come out of us in these last days, in this last outpouring, Father, of your Spirit, Lord. We yearn for this. We lust for this. We desire it more than anything else on the planet. Hallelujah. Came home, began to move into God. And I remember I had spent half a day. My office was over at the church. It's now at my house. I'd spent half the day on that particular day just in worship. I'd spent from early hours till noon, and I thought, I'm going to go home and get a sandwich. Well, I just live across the field there. But I walked the street around instead of taking the path across the field that day. And I didn't feel any different myself than myself. But I'd spent several hours in worship and presence. And so I'm going home for Candy to fix me a sandwich. And I'm out in the street, and I'm walking around the curve, and you walk down the path and walk down the street. And I look to my peripheral, and I'm looking, and these two guys, these two grown men are coming up on bikes. Well, I'm kind of careful. I'm always watching where I'm at. So these are two grown guys, and they're looking kind of rough. And one's a black guy, one's a Hispanic guy. And they come up on my side, and, I'm like, okay, I got to watch this. And because they're on bikes, and I'm like, and one of them goes, "Hey, man." I said, "Hey." He said, "I know you." I said, "No." I looked at him. I said, "I don't think so." He said, "Yeah, did we go to school together?" I said, "No, I never. I moved down here." I said, "Did you see the church over there?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I pastor that church." He goes, "You're a pastor?" I said, "Yeah." I could tell they weren't saved. They weren't born again. Just kind of rough guys. But I was happy to talk to them. He said, "You're a pastor?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Will you pray for me?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you pray for my foot? He said, I got gout in it." And I looked down, and man, his leg is like huge. And I go, wow. And so I think he thought, pray, remember me in prayer. And I said, "Yeah, well, let me pray right now." So there's a truck coming down the street. And I said, "Well, let's back out the street just a little bit." And I didn't know that presence that I had been in was about to come out. And it was the same presence that I felt that took over an auditorium 15 years later, however many years later, that introduced me and said, it created a hunger inside of me that said, I don't, a house is nothing, a business is nothing. I've got to have this. I've got to go in. I said, let's just back out of the street for a minute. And I didn't expect this. I didn't know it was coming. I had no idea. It caught me as unaware as it did them. And I said, "Let's pray." And I said, "Father." And I'm about to pray. And when I said, "Father," a presence filled the street. I could feel it, but of course I've been in communion with him. But the one guy, and I can't remember which one, it was the black or the Hispanic, and this may not be verbatim, but it was almost like this. One of them goes, "Whoa." And the other one goes, "Yeah." And I'm thinking, "Whoa," and "Yeah," too. Now, what if a "whoa" and "yeah" covers an entire city? What if it comes out or begins to saturate an entire region? What if this treasure that is in earthen vessel begins to saturate and brings forth a "whoa" and "yeah" over a region so strong that people cannot resist? I cannot resist. Dave used to kill me and all of us when he would talk about laying your life down enough for those who cannot go to that place. He would talk about, I guess it was a vision, he would say, he wasn't trying to put us on a guilt trip. He was trying to introduce us to what our potential was. And he said, he saw that little guy sitting there in a wheelchair, invalid, inability to go there himself, or maybe his parents, they didn't know enough. And he looked up at him and said, "Sir, are you the one?" "Are you the one?" "Ma'am, are you the one that will go in far enough?" "Bring this glory out of your earthen vessel. Excuse me. I'll fix a big salmon steak on the grill on Monday night, and it always happens. Candy will saute some nice vegetables in the oven. We'll sit down, turn the TV on, and I'm about ready to enjoy my salmon. And one of those St. Jude Hospital commercials will come on. And I'll see one of them babies. And immediately, Dave's words, 'Are you the one? Sir, are you the one that'll go in far enough and lay your life down?'" See, there's two sides to this message, and it's perfect. Both of them are perfect. There's Mark 11, 23, 24. "Whosoever shall say into this mountain, 'Be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea,' shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." We can teach that, and it's legitimate, it's perfect, it's mustard seed, and it'll grow up, and you can do that, and you can change your world, and you can teach others to change their world through that faith. The only thing is, that won't work. It will work, but that's not the mind for those St. Jude children. Luke 11, "Which of you having a friend would go to him at midnight and say to me, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me in the midnight of his life, of his journey.'" 111, Mark 11 is teaching. See, I could live my life in a real prosperous way and teach kingdom prosperity and kingdom faith, and it's perfect. See, all my grandkids, There's no problem. They're bright. Their bodies are all right. And I could teach Mark 11. That's perfect. Grow up, and grow up. And that's perfect. And I teach it, and I will continue to teach it. But there's also Luke 11. 3 friends. One comes to another at midnight and says, "Will you lend me 3 loaves? Because another friend has come to me in his journey at the midnight of his life." See, that's the Jude Hospital children. That's the families that are wrecked. They cannot. They don't know how. Luke 11 is the one that goes to the friend at midnight, which is God, and say, "God, I don't have it yet, but I'll ask. I'll seek, I'll knock, I'll ask, I'll receive, I'll seek, and I'll find, I'll knock, and it'll be open unto me. If I stay on this journey and believe that inside of me, inside of this ark, this earthen vessel, I can receive something. I can receive the bread that goes back and lays lays it out. One's self-induced. It's perfect. I can teach you how to grow up and you can speak to the mountain, but there's a world, there's thousands of them that are waiting for somebody to go into that place to say, I've got the bread. I'm not going to just teach you how to go get the bread. I've already got it. I found it because I've spent enough time in His presence. One's teaching them how to bake the bread themselves. One is the other one's come back and say, I've already made it and baked it, and here it is. You can receive it because it's already done. Be healed. I'm seeking God for the wow and the yeah to saturate Immokalee. And hey, listen, maturity is a big factor in receiving this. So it's not like, but in a certain sense, we're all shoulder to shoulder. Have you noticed there's none of us really running out, any of us preachers, and we're not really running out real far in front of each other in miracles yet, in power, although we're walking in power. What are you saying? I'm saying you've got, for a lack of a better word, you, all of us, you've got just as good a chance to run the race and go in there and get it. My God, somebody do it. Please. I'll be jealous for a little bit, but He'll forgive me for that. We'll run harder. But get her done. Get her done. Hallelujah. Go into that place. Bake the bread. Receive the bread. Teach people how to go get it themselves and speak to the mountain. But then you go in and get it to where you can deliver it. And it'll saturate a whole city. And that which is in an earthen vessel pours out of you to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You're not supposed to make me cry before I come up here. It's not fair. The first time that Sue and I ever walked through the doors of the prayer center, which was just a little bit before them, we got captured also. And I see the common denominator here is we saw something. We felt something that changed the course of our life forever. And I'm telling you right now, our job is to show the world something. They need to see something. They need to feel something to know that our gospel is real. Jesus, near the end of John 17, when He's doing His high priestly prayer right before He suffers the cross and everything associated with it, He prays that prayer that we all may be one. And usually that's taught as a horizontal unity that we all get along, and He wants us to all get along, but that's not at all what He's talking about. He says, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. He's talking a vertical unity, the same way that God the Father and God the Son, we're walking as one. We are supposed to walk as one with our Lord Jesus Christ. Him in us and the Father in Him. And that the world, He says, when we do that, when we walk in that kind of unity and walk in that real love, the agape God kind of love, He said, so that the world may know that Thou hast sent me. See, the world needs to feel something. The world needs to see something. The world needs to see the Tommy Perez's coming out of the wheelchair. They need to see Homer giving his testimony about receiving his sight. They need to see Dylan's son Sam standing here strong and with a clear voice and telling what great things the Lord has done for him. See, Jesus said, believe me that the Father's in me because I say so. Or He said, or else just believe me for the very work's sake. We haven't been showing the world very many works. When Sue and I first came to the prayer center, the very first service, we were trying to hide. We walked in, we found a place where there was a group of people. We went and sat in the midst because we didn't want to be seen. We wanted to hide and test the waters. That worked for about 5 minutes. It wasn't very long at all, and Dave, he just looked right over at us, you know, and we went. That didn't work either. And he goes, you two. And we're going, no, you two right there. And we went, yeah, you stand up. Holy Ghost unfound us, you know. We come in there trying to hide, you know. Yeah, you two, stand up. Step out in the aisle. Now see, what I knew that Dave didn't know, the night before, Saturday night, Sue and I had been going through the 5 years. We'd never backslid back into the bars or anything, but boy, we went through 5 years of hell. And we kind of went from church to church, and we have a lot of good churches in Tulsa, and we're blessed that way. But none of them was ever really home, you know. Sue remembered about, hey, you know, I heard Pastor Dave Roberson's got a church right down the road here a little bit. And we had seen him once at Grace Fellowship years before when he had a mustache and big bushy hair. And all I really remembered is it was really funny. So let's go, because our the subject matter was change. We had been through 5 years of hell. That's when I went through the melanoma thing, and Sue went through, she had an 8-pound blood mass that could have killed her if that thing would have ruptured. We had a few children in rebellion. We won't talk about that. It was a rough, rough 5 years. And we're going, if we don't change, our lives have got to change, you know. And so that was the subject tonight, Saturday night. And I knew that Dave had no way of knowing that. So he calls us out in the aisle. And we're just standing there, and I'll be honest with you. We're supposed to be honest in church, aren't we? I had been so hurt by well-meaning preachers. I don't think any of them intended to hurt me, but that didn't stop me from getting hurt. I was kind of afraid to trust another one, and I didn't really know Dave at all. But he walked up to us. Here we were standing in the aisle, and I don't know whether to trust him. I don't know what's going to happen. He said, I see a banner over the two of you like an arch, and there's a word written on it. And the word is change. See, to this day, roughly 30 years later, I knew the Holy Ghost was talking to us through this man. The world needs to see something. The world needs to feel something. We need to show them the living Christ. And if there was anywhere that already had it, if there was a church walking in this where Jesus could have where he could have his way, and we could take the Sams and the Homers and they'd get healed first time every time, I would go and learn. It's not a pride thing. The problem is there's nowhere to go. There is no seminary. There's no university. There's no church that I know of. I mean, I thank God for the gifts flowing where they are, you know. But they're not having Jesus meetings. Jesus meetings, they all get healed. First time. Every time. No exceptions. So how are we going to get from where we are? Who can take us by the hand? He said he's not going to leave us as orphans. He's going to send somebody. Somebody who knows the way. Somebody who knows what it takes. He knows the price. We do have this treasure in an earthen vessel. But he didn't leave us as orphans to find our own way. He said, if you'll put your hand in the hand of the Holy Spirit, he's the only one that can take you from where you are to where Jesus wants us to be. I hope this week it's cause you want to double down. Especially the way he attacked Jamie. It just makes me mad. Makes me mad. Her willing to open up the most precious treasure of her heart to share with us. and the enemy attack like that, I want to do some attacking myself. Do some attacking. So I just hope the week has encouraged you. You really are the Ark of the Covenant. You know, even last night, once you start seeing it, you start seeing it everywhere. You know, because, you know, what did Jesus say? He said, those that believe on me, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Spirit, who at that moment was not yet given, but he has been given now. You are the Ark of the Covenant. You are the temple of God. He wants us to go and let the Holy Spirit flow out of us the same way it did out of him. I can see Jesus on that cross saying, I want to flow out of Bronk. I want to flow out of each and every one of them. The devil thinks he's winning, but I'm winning. My ministry is not about to end. My ministry is about to be multiplied. Multiplied through a Joel's army for the end time harvest. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah! Yeah.
Oh, praise God. You know, both with Pastor Bronk and Gary just now, I mean, you heard more meat from each one of them than a lot of churches have ever heard in all their services combined. You know, Pastor Bronk was sharing from Isaiah 45, where God said, I'll go before thee, make the crooked places straight. I'll break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Well, you know, Jesus said something similar to that when he was talking about, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. I mean, it's kind of like a New Testament version of what God said there in Isaiah. What we've heard this week, what's so important is that we not just be hearers, but we become doers. And, you know, Jesus kind of warned how that Satan comes immediately to steal the word, and then he talks about all the stuff that goes on that would interfere with people who have heard applying what they have heard. Well, it's a battle. And we can't leave this conference thinking, well, it won't happen to me. I mean, I know now that when this conference is over, bless God, things are going to be different. Okay, well, we have that attitude. But on the other hand, you've got a devil out there who's thinking, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. And, I mean, think of it this way. That lying devil could say, you see what I did to Jamie? All right. You want to get it on? Let's do it. Well, the thing is, God said, don't forget about the gates of brass and the bars of iron. You know, don't forget about the gates of hell not being able to stand before you. Don't forget about that. Well, if we do what we've heard this week and apply it, understanding that growth is a process, it's not overnight, but if we are diligent to the doing, then we'll see the results. It's going to happen. And there's a verse I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 16 that kind of flows with that passage there in Isaiah and what Jesus said about the gates of hell and what Gary was sharing about, you know, getting it done and doing it. And it's in Romans chapter 16, and I'll kind of preface it by saying this. If we do what we've heard, and we'll just keep pressing in, here's going to be the result. Romans 16, verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And I honestly, this one verse could be a sermon in itself. But to summarize, where it talks about the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. I think it's interesting. Jesus talked about laying hands on the sick and them recovering. God's saying, don't forget about your feet, because I'm going to use your feet too. Now, I know it's symbolic, but what this is talking about is authority. You know, he's under our feet. He's under our feet. And that word bruise, well, I won't get into a lot of Greek stuff, but the word bruise is talking about not just you bump your head, you got a bruise. That's talking about a crushing, an obliterating, a complete shutdown, an absolute stopping, a no getting up, which goes along with what the Apostle Paul revealed in Ephesians, where he talks about the warfare and having done all to stand therefore. Real briefly, the image of that is you have beaten up the enemy, and now you are standing on top of the enemy, and you've got your hands raised in victory, and the enemy can't get up because you're standing there for having won. He's saying God is going to crush, obliterate, stop, knock him down, and he can't get back up under your feet. In other words, under your authority. But God does it through us. God, I want you to stop the devil. God says, stomp on him. God says, I'll do it, but you've got to come to that place to where I can move so freely through you that it's not a challenge. And he says, he will bruise Satan under your feet. And the next word there is shortly. Well, that word shortly means speedily, meaning it's not like it's going to take you 6 months of confession for this to happen. It's going to be like Jesus showing up. And what happened? Jesus shows up in a church service, and some demon-possessed fella jumps up and says, you know, why don't you leave us alone? And Jesus, he doesn't break stride. He just says, hold your peace, come out of him. And then he keeps preaching. Hey, I saw that in Pastor Dave one time in his service. The point I'm getting at is this. God is trying to get across to us. Really, in Romans 16, it's the end of this book. It's like he's saying, in summary now, if you'll do this, I want you to know what I will be able to do through you. My power through your authority, and the enemy will be under your feet. Not just under your feet, but crushed, shut down, stopped. He ain't getting back up. It's over. It's you see the manifested victory, the manifested healing, the manifested deliverance. I mean, on and on it goes. And it happens now. Not 2 years from now. It happens now. Right now. This is us. This is what Brother Gary was just sharing. The world needs to see this. The world needs to see it. That's where we're headed. Looking unto Jesus, our example. Glory to God. We cannot allow ourselves to start thinking of ourselves as we have in the past. What's that? You need healing? All right, well, you know, come with me on Sunday and we'll have our pastor pray for you. That has to end. I mean, it has to end. It has to be, you need healing? Oh, okay, no problem. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. That's where we're headed. But you know what? Religion has painted such a, it ain't going to happen like that picture for us over the years. It's going to take, be ye transformed by the renewing of your thought process. So you think with the mind of Christ and you realize, you know, Jesus was right. With God, all things are possible, and nothing is impossible to him that believes. this really works. Praise God. Praise God. And you look at me and think, well, boy, Pastor Jim now, he's got it going. No, Pastor Jim is right there with you and everybody else. Listen, we're all pressing forward, all of us. You know, in the midst of the battle, you forget who's the sergeant, who's the captain. You're just glad everybody's got a weapon and firing against the enemy. Praise God. Let's just kind of look ahead. You remember when Jesus sent out the 70? And he said, now here's what I want you to do. Now you have to put yourself in the place of the 70 thinking, seriously? I mean, I've seen you do this, but you're telling me you want me to go do this? Are you looking at me? I mean, you, Jesus, are you looking at me? Wanting me to go? So they go out. And the Bible says they came back. Man, these guys are on cloud nine. They were, and if you get into all the Greek, when they're telling Jesus that, and it says something about in the space of an hour, Jesus rejoiced with them. Okay, in the Greek, that phrase means Jesus was joining with them and they were dancing and shouting and rejoicing over the victories. Well, guess what? We're going forth from here, and I'm looking forward to next year. We come back in with reports. And we're just edifying each other with the great things that God has done through our hands, through our voice, and through our feet. Hallelujah. Amen. Please stand. And I do encourage you, if you can, make plans to be here next year. And talk this up, because there are a lot of people out there, Christians, they're looking for this. Well, let's help them find it. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this week. I am so glad that we had this conference. And I'm so glad for those who stood before us and taught and delivered your word. Father, we have feasted at the table of the Lord in an incredible way. And Father, I'm just right now lifting everybody up. Folks are going to be driving home. Folks are going to be flying. But Father, I just speak protection over them, over their bodies, over every vehicle, mode of transportation they'll be in, that, Father, they will arrive home healthy and safe with no problems, no anything, any hindrances along the way. And Jesus, all the glory goes to you for what has happened this week. Father, work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And we will come back next year with great reports. Look what the Lord has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll see you next year.